Welcome to Laudes and Lattes, the podcast where we blend the world of law and business with a warm cup of information and good old common sense. I'm your host, Sydney Whelan, attorney, real estate investor, and business owner. Each week, we'll be your go-to source for legal insights, business advice, and so much more. Whether you're a seasoned professional, an ambitious entrepreneur, or simply someone seeking guidance, we'll have you covered. From navigating the legal landscape to empowering you with valuable business strategies, we'll explore the legal side of life and enjoy a virtual latte along the way. So, grab your favorite latte, get comfortable, and let's dive in to Laudes and Lattes. Welcome to the third episode of Laudes and Lattes. I'm your host, Sydney Whelan. Today, we are going to talk about wills and why just having a will is your ticket to probate. Why do I say this? Because the will must be administered by the probate court to be effective. In our last episodes, we talked about probate, what it is, what it's used for, and why we try to avoid it if we can. I'm here to tell you why and how a will might fit into your overall estate plan, even if it has to be administered by the probate court. Exactly what is a will anyway? Well, a will or a will and testament is a legal document that communicates a person's final wishes pertaining to their assets. It provides specific instructions about what to do with your possessions after your death. First, I want to emphasize that if you do nothing, if you die without a will or other estate plan documents in place, the state statutes in the place where you live will determine where your assets are distributed at your death. This is known as intestate succession. Without your own plan in place, the state, not you, decides who receives your assets when you pass. Sometimes you will hear the phrase will and testament. Just know that a will and testament mean the same thing. It refers to a statement directing the disposition of your personal property upon death. Historically, the term will and testament referred to a legal document created by an individual called a testator, naming a person to manage one's estate and distribute the property after your death. Sometimes you will see the word testatrix. Just know that this is the female version of the testator. Some states allow for non-standard or unusual wills, such as a holographic will, while others do not. A holographic will is typically defined as a will written in the testator's handwriting, but not signed by any witness. In the state of Missouri, however, a holographic will is not recognized. Oral wills are sometimes recognized under certain very specific circumstances. Having a last will and testament gives you some control over what happens to your assets after your death. If you die without a will, your estate, including the distribution of all assets, is settled by the courts in the manner prescribed by your state statutes. For parents with young children, a will is the best place to name or appoint a guardian for your children. If a parent with children dies without a will, the courts will appoint the guardian for those minor kids. What a will doesn't do. So, there are several situations after death for which a will isn't useful. Remember, a will gives direction to the probate court only for assets that are in your name alone at your death. For instance, a will not be effective to transfer property held in joint tenancy with someone else, property that you have placed into a revocable or a non-revocable living trust. If you have beneficiary designations on things such as your life insurance policies, that life insurance policy will not be transferred by your will. Likewise, any asset with a designated beneficiary will not be transferred by your will. This includes a pension plan, an individual retirement account such as an IRA, or a 401k plan or other retirement plan with designated beneficiaries. Financial assets such as stocks and bonds held in accounts that already have completed beneficiary forms will not be transferred by your will. The same way with money in a payable on death bank account. All of these assets, if they have a beneficiary designation, will not be transferred by your will. Please remember that the will should only be part of your overall estate plan, not the only part of your estate plan. The downside of having just a will as your only estate planning tool is that any property that your will directs should go to certain beneficiaries, whether that is a person or an organization, most likely will be tied up in the probate court for months before it can be distributed according to your wishes. In addition to the time and effort involved, the probate process involves legal fees relating to a lawyer, the executor, and the court. Did you know that there are certain things that should not go into your will? This is not the place to put directions for your funeral arrangements. That's because normally the will won't be reviewed for some time after your death. Be sure to leave instructions for your funeral arrangements in a separate document that's easily accessed by the executor or family member. Also, know that gifts that you bestow through a will can't come with any strings attached. In certain cases, for instance, your distribution can't be contingent on the marriage, divorce, or other circumstances of a recipient. The will doesn't allow you to reduce or avoid taxes that would be owed on your estate. And you can't leave your money to your pets. Pets can't own property, so if your dog, cat, or goldfish is important to you, you can consider leaving them to a trusted friend who will provide them with a loving home or find one for them. Your will can provide that person with money to help care for your pets. There are ways to set up trust provisions inside your will, typically called a testamentary trust, because it's part of your will and testament. However, if you're trying to provide funds for your children's care or long-term care for a loved one with special needs, there may be better ways to accomplish that, and you should definitely talk to your estate planning attorney. Usually, it's best to set up a trust for your children or a special needs trust outside of your will. That trust can then direct the care and provide ongoing income without affecting benefits that your special needs beneficiaries or your children may receive through any government or other programs. There are some very specific requirements of a last will and testament, and we should talk about those. A valid will requires that you be over the age of majority. In Missouri, that's the age of 18. You must be able to understand what property you have and what it means to leave properties to others after your death. You must understand who your natural heirs and beneficiaries are and be able to make decisions about who you wish to leave your property to at your death. You must be able to identify the assets and property that are to be distributed, as well as the identities of the intended recipients, known as your beneficiary. A will should designate an executor, sometimes we call this a personal representative, to carry out the will's instructions according to the wishes of the deceased. Like we mentioned earlier, for families with young children, a will is the place where you can designate a legal guardian to care for your kids in the event that you should die while your children are young. For a will to be considered, it must be signed. Many jurisdictions also require the signing of the will be witnessed by at least two unrelated individuals over the age of 18. There are several types of wills as well. A simple will, like its name implies, is simply used to list your assets and the beneficiaries who should receive those assets. You can also designate the executor or personal representative and a guardian for any minor children in a simple will. A will can provide a testamentary trust. In our previous episode, I talked about a revocable living trust. When I talk about a testamentary trust, it's different. The testamentary trust is a trust that's included in your will. This type of will contains one or more testamentary trusts that can take effect only after your death and as a part of the probate process. This is not like the living trust, which takes effect during your lifetime. One of my favorite types of wills is used in conjunction with the revocable living trust that we've talked about in the previous episode. This type of will is called a pour-over will. Now, if you've heard me speak about revocable trusts and its use in avoiding probate, you may wonder why even having a will is necessary. This is the way I explain it to my clients. You must remember that the revocable living trust only protects assets that are correctly titled into the name of the trust. I have had clients in the past, even with the best of intentions, and they try to do everything that they can think of to make sure that their assets are correctly titled into the name of their trust. Unfortunately, life happens and sometimes mistakes are made, or we forget to retitle maybe an insignificant piece of property, or we forget to put a beneficiary on a life insurance policy. Or the beneficiary that we named on the life insurance policy predeceases us and we don't get that changed. Since there can be many reasons why assets don't properly get transferred into the trust, and because of that, I suggest to my estate planning clients that we include in their documents a pour-over will. Basically, the pour-over will says, "Judge, if I've forgotten any assets or I have missed something and didn't get it into my trust, then I want those assets to be poured into my revocable trust to eventually be distributed according to my trust instructions." If my clients do everything right and all of their assets get transferred into their living trust while they are living, then there is no reason for their heirs to have to probate the pour-over will at their death. I like to think of the pour-over will as an insurance policy or a fail-safe method to make sure that we catch everything and that everything is distributed in one cohesive plan. So basically, it's a fail-safe measure to make sure that all of your assets eventually get transferred through your revocable trust, and that any assets that do have to go through probate can be minimized and distributed as quickly as possible. Wills and trusts are both important estate planning tools, but they differ in important ways. Remember these two things. First, trust are separate legal entities created by individuals known as grantors or trustors that are assigned assets and instruct in the disposition of those assets. Trusts are effective while you are alive as well as at your death. Now, a will, on the other hand, only becomes effective after one's death, and a will must go through probate in order to administer the will. A last will and testament can be a fundamental document in an estate plan. It lays out a person's final wishes pertaining to their assets, and it can provide specific instructions on how to distribute your possessions. It just should not be the only document in your estate plan. To reiterate, there are certain things that a will cannot accomplish. A will doesn't help a family avoid probate or reduce estate taxes. Wills can be simple to create, but wills also have requirements that must be addressed in order for them to be considered valid. We'll go over a few of those legal requirements. First, a will must meet the legal requirements set forth by the state in which the testator lives in order for it to be valid. Most states will also accept a will that was executed in another state if the document is a valid will under that state's law. In Missouri, any person 18 years of age of sound mind may make a will. In some circumstances, a minor, if emancipated, married, or on active duty in the military, may make a will. The person making a will may devise your real or personal property and may also devise the whole or any part of his or her body to any college, university, licensed hospital, or to the state anatomical board for use in the manner expressly provided by the will. The will should be in writing, signed by the testator and by two witnesses. If the testator cannot physically sign his name, he may direct another person to do so. This party may not be one of the witnesses. Each witness must also sign the will in the testator's presence. In Missouri, any competent person may act as a witness to a will. Generally, it's recommended that the witnesses to the will be disinterested, which means that they are not a beneficiary of the will. If a will's authenticity is unchallenged, it may be probated in a simplified procedure if it's been self-proven. Witnesses to a self-proven will are not required to testify in court because the court automatically accepts a self-proven will as authentic. To self-prove a will, the testator and the witnesses must swear in an affidavit before a notary to the authenticity of the will. The affidavit should be a part of the will or attached to it. Without this self-proven method, it's often necessary at a person's death to find the witnesses that signed the will and present their evidence in court that they actually did witness the will. Now, you can imagine that this might provide some difficulty. Sometimes we have witnesses that cannot be found because they've moved away, or we have witnesses that predecease the testator and are just simply not available to testify. So in our practice, we always have two witnesses sign in the presence of the testator, and both the testator's signature and the witness's signatures are notarized at that time. Then we'll have no problem getting the will admitted to probate at that person's death. So the requirement is this: every will shall be in writing, signed by the testator or by some person at his direction in his presence, and shall be attested to by two or more competent witnesses subscribing their name to the will in the presence of the testator. The only exception in Missouri to the written requirement of a will is the oral will that may be made only by a person in imminent peril of death, whether from illness or otherwise. And the oral will shall be valid only if the testator died as a result of the impending peril and very specific formalities followed as specifically set out in the statutes. The oral statement must be witnessed by two disinterested witnesses and reduced to writing within 30 days of the declaration. The oral will cannot dispose of more than $500 and cannot change or revoke an existing will. So as you can see, it's only for very specific and infrequent purposes. Another situation that comes up once in a while is a change in circumstances because of divorce. If, after making a will, the testator becomes divorced, all provisions in the will in favor of the testator's divorced spouse are revoked. With this exception, no written will, nor any part of it, can be revoked by any change in circumstances or condition of the testator unless the testator changes the will. Remember, a will is only effective at your death. Up until that time, a will may be revoked by preparing a subsequent will in writing or by the testator destroying the old will by burning, canceling, tearing, or obliterating the same. In Missouri, there are provisions in the state statutes which allow but do not require a person while living to deposit the will with the probate division of the circuit court to be safely kept until delivered or disposed of as provided in the statute. The statute provides that the will may be sealed and shall not be open or read until delivered to a person entitled to receive it or as otherwise disposed of. So what do we do with our wills once we make them? Well, in Missouri, there are provisions in the state statutes which allow a person to deposit the will with the probate court while you are alive. The purpose of this is to keep the will safe and sealed until it's time to be read, usually at the time of a person's death. Now, this is not required. If you choose not to file a sealed copy of your will with a probate court, I suggest that you keep your original will in a safe place and let your closest family members know where to find it upon your death. I suggest that you do not make extra copies of your will, since one of the ways to revoke your will is to destroy it by tearing or shredding it. You don't want extra copies of your will floating around at your death. If your loved ones cannot locate your original will, but do find a duplicate copy, it will then be unclear as to whether the original will was intentionally destroyed or simply misplaced. As with most legal documents, a will should not be a do-it-yourself document. As you can see, there are many rules and formalities that could prevent your will from being administered by the courts in the way that you intended. I strongly suggest that you contact a competent estate planning attorney who will understand your state laws regarding a last will and testament to make sure that you take the right steps when you're creating the will and to make sure that your will fits seamlessly into your overall estate plan. Until next time, my friends, enjoy your favorite lattes and have a great week.
This podcast episode contains general information for discussion purposes only. Each case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Missouri rules generally prohibit lawyers from advertising that they specialize in particular areas of the law. This show should not be construed to suggest such specialization. Nothing on this show should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. This information is not intended to create an attorney-client relationship, and the listening or viewing of this podcast does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.